You might like to turn in your Bible to Psalm 23 and verse 1. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, here we are. So deal with us according to your good pleasure. God, thank you that we could be in your presence for the outworking of your goodwill, that we might be found faithful, a remnant believing, looking for your soon imminent return. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And we share together this morning that the centerpiece, if you would, going back before there was no angels, no humans, etc. And God has as his centerpiece, a God in the painting is a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Looking at it from a book standpoint, God has the main character, the main reason for the writing of the book, Human History. The reason for writing it is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb of God, said John the Baptist, who taketh away the sin of the world. So we're looking at God, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. God, you present yourself as the Lamb, the little Lamb. And you do that. We should know that. And God, that's the centerpiece. Christ crucified, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice, the sufficient saving sacrifice, the perfect substitute, taken to the cross, going to the cross to pay for the sin of the world, etc. The Lamb. And that's the beginning. What do we see before anything? It's the centerpiece. Is the Lamb of God. And when we come to the end, a new heavens and a new earth, Revelation 21 and 22, the centerpiece is the little Lamb who is the center. The Lamb is the centerpiece of forever. God showing his wonderful person. And so we brought all that together a little bit. The Lamb of God. So David, we could read, the Lamb is my shepherd. The Lamb is the Savior. Who is the Lord? Who is sovereign God? Who is the shepherd? Who is the shepherd? The Lamb, the Lord. He's a shepherd. Now, what does it mean? God, you bring yourself as a shepherd. Here we are in your presence. And God, here we are looking, and how are we supposed to find you, discover you in the midst of everything? What are we going to do, God? And keeping in mind, just reminded today, everything is going in a global way, a big time way, so that apart from communists, China and Russia, Cuba, apart from them, the big system out there is moving globally. And our present system in America is ready and is already lined up to join with them. That's why the present 4 years was unacceptable. It's a national to make America great. That's the wrong thing for the system, the global system. They hate that. It's against everything they're going for. So I can't get into that because I'd rather... Now, God, here we are. We need a shepherd. And God, that's what you are. You are an awesome shepherd. And so we're to look to you, God. How are we supposed to find you? As a shepherd. Okay, let's look at it. Psalm 23, and in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the word shepherd there is a verb. It's a participle. So it has to do with feeding, feeding, pasture, pasture, feeding, caring, caring, sheep, sheep, fold, tending a flock, all of the words that go with taking care of a flock, of a herd, of animals, etc., taking care of them in every way, every way. So here we are looking, and the shepherd is participle. He is, it's an active verb. The shepherd is shepherding. So David, what are you saying? The Lord is presently acting, being my shepherd. And he continues to be my shepherd. He is the one who is shepherding me. I am being shepherded by the shepherded, by the shepherd. That's what I'm doing. I'm enjoying the shepherd. That's, David's been along a little, he's older now, of course. And he says, listen, my life, my times are in thy hand. My times are in your hands. So therefore, David, we're looking at the word, and it has to do with the verb to care, to proceed in a way, to care for, help, nourish, gaze, pasture, all those words, to feed, and I mentioned that, and to tend the sheep, to do everything, to take care of animals, to take care of whatever you need to do, whatever they need to make that happen, pasture. Now, in order to catch the flavor of that word, so you can see it, God, are you busy? Were you busy being the Lord, being the Lamb, being the shepherd? We'll pick it up, we'll go back to Genesis, but before we do that, look at Psalm, if you would, in Psalm 77, just as a little exercise. In Psalm 77, and in Psalm 77, go right to the end, I think, and you'll pick up the little word, thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So God, you're leading, guiding, pasturing, feeding. And you led them. How did you lead? You used Moses and Aaron to do so. Chapter 79. And in chapter 79, picking up, please, in verse 13, you'll see it, the end. So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. So as you keep reading, turning the pages, you're going to find they are relating to God in a what way? As sheep to the shepherd. God is caring for them, literally. Over, if you would please, to Psalm 80, right next door, verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Thou leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth, God. So they're always looking to God, and they're looking to God, not as a great big giant. They're looking to God to shepherd them. They're sheep. They're conscious of a dependency. Psalm 95. And Psalm 95, picking up again, in verse 7. He is our God, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, there's your little word, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. God, don't harden your heart. We don't want to harden our heart. We are the sheep of his pasture. The job of the shepherd is to take care of the sheep, to make sure the sheep survive and have everything they need. Psalm 100. Psalm 100 and in verse 3, if I may. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's who we are. So there's a relationship that Israel, when they were with it, when they were conscious and enjoying the benefits, that they knew that they were sheep and the Lord was their shepherd. Israel, for the most part in their history so far, hasn't very rarely done that very long as a nation, if at all. But David, no matter what Israel was doing or thinking, David was not going to miss out. David had a heart for God, and David understand he was a sheep. He was not Superman. He was not the Lion King. He was not that. He never thought that. In fact, he had the fewest of sheep of the sons of Jesse out there in the field, and the sons mocked him because he was young and nobody out there compared to all the other sons. And he was out there in the field with a few sheep. And that's what he did. He did it because the sheep belonged to the Father, David was going to take care of the sheep. And in fact, in the process, he risked his life for a few sheep. David got a bear and a lion. They would have liked a head sheep. But David said, nothing doing. They're my father's sheep, and you can't have them. And David, that's what David did. David, you're nobody. No, David understood he was a sheep. He understood he was looking to a great God with all his heart, and God was going to be a great God to him because David looked for God to be a great God, to be a wonderful God, like we shared this morning. God delights over one sheep, one sinner that repents. The whole heaven is delighted. So how do we please God? Why is God pleased? Well, when we get saved, God is pleased when we're saved. Now, having said that, so David knew the wonderment of being saved and looking to God as his shepherd. He knew the relationship that produced a wonderful, abundant life. And David knew himself as a sheep, as we shared. And in the process of being a sheep and looking to God, he was going to learn. But history was behind him. He could look back at history. What did David see in history? Numbers 14. What did David see in history? What did David know in history? Numbers chapter 14. And you will notice, please, picking up, remember, this is when the ten spies come back from searching the land, and they don't believe, and they don't want to go. Caleb and Joshua want to go and take the land, but the 10 others convince everybody else that it isn't the thing to do. The giants, the chariots of iron, etc. So now, having said that, God, how does God take care of them for 40 years? They are stubborn, murmuring, unbelieving. Now, God, I'm interested. God, you have a plan for them. They are out in the middle of the desert, Sinai Peninsula. It's one thing to be a family of 6 or 10 people or 2 people out in the desert, and you can survive and find a cactus and get the water from it and do a few things. But there's no way on earth to take care of 2.5 million people. with thousands of animals. There's no way on earth to survive in the desert. It's just impossible. That's the whole point. Now, God, what did you do? You know it, verse 33. And your children shall wander, shall be wandering like sheep, wander, feeding, they're going to wander, feed, like in pasture. They're going to wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Now, I'm going to take, that's the word, to wander, pasture, to take care of. I'm going to shepherd you, and the reason you're going to survive in no man's land, where no one could ever live, the reason you're going to survive is because I'm going to make it happen. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd is going to take care of you. That's how you're going to make it in the desert. You're never going to make it. I'm going to do it for you. And for 40 years, you're going to live under my care. Are you going to change? No, but I'm going to get rid of it, fix everything enough for you to continue across the Jordan River. So, in the process, how did they live for the 40 years? They were shepherded. God shepherded them. Over to Deuteronomy. Well, before you do that, chapter 27. And in chapter 27, sliding, if I may, to pick it up, in verse 15, 27, 15 of Numbers. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that reason the congregation of the Lord may, the congregation of the Lord, be not as sheep, which have no shepherd. And what, may you remember all this we did a little while ago in Deuteronomy 28, 6 and that, about David. David was a man that believed the blessing of God. God said, chapter 28, I'll bless you when you go in. I'll bless you when you come out. I'll bless you wherever you are. Wherever you are, I'm going to bless you. And they knew that. And David was blessed, even though he had his problem. God always was blessing him in the midst of it all. And he had that blessing. What did the people need to do? They needed to understand Moses has to have a Joshua, somebody. Because they can be blessed by God. That's why Joshua and Caleb. What marked them? What God? Why did God pick them, use them? They followed the Lord. God took a step, as it were, and their feet were right behind. God took a step, and they put their foot in the space where his foot was, and they kept doing. They followed him. How close did they follow? They followed close like that. So wherever God wanted, they were close. They weren't going to go anywhere without God. And God used them, and God raised them up. They were blessed going in, going out. That's how Joshua lived. The rest of them could have had that. That's why they won all those battles. Now, in the light of that, over to Deuteronomy. Again, just to remind you and myself, Deuteronomy, God, here we are going to cross the Jordan, and history is re-understood. What about the 40 years in the wilderness? How are they to be understood? Well, chapter 7, Deuteronomy, verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him above all people that are upon the face of the earth. They were to be above and beyond every nation. God was the only nation God picked to be. He never picked any other nation. He said there is no other, later he's going to say, there's no other nation on earth that I have done this with. And that's why they get clobbered. They get spanked, something fierce. Why? Wars in and out, the whole history. because they're God's people. And God deals with them in a way very special. If you're not a legitimate child, Hebrews 12, what? God doesn't leave you alone. You're a bastard. Illegitimate is the word is. But when you're loved by God, you bet you're going to get clobbered. God loves you. He's going to do what he does because he loves you. But the rest of them do whatever they want. But God loves his people now. So he has got that special and that underline parenthesis. You're special if you're saved. And just to say, not like our country and the conditions, we have no right to be special. We have no right to have all these benefits. We have no right to be the nation giving to all nations. And the nations right now, many of them, Archbishop and all of them, saying what? Do you realize Trump was the only thing that kept it in check? And they know that. Trump was the only thing that kept it in check. It's unchecked now. Having said that, it's special. You're special. The believers are special. And you have to. And I'm doing that with our country because that's what the terrible country, to have all the benefits, to have 25 different brands of peanut butter. What right have you got to have so many brands of peanut butter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Say, who are you? Now, but as a believer, you are special. And God will bless you special. He says he'll bless you special. You're his body. So don't say, well, I don't deserve that. God, don't do that. If God wants, let God take care of you in the way he's taking care of you so that you have the benefits. And that's what God wants. And don't say, well, I don't deserve. I don't deserve and neither do you. But it isn't based on deserving. It's based on God's grace and God's wonderful relationship that we're to have to enjoy God. So don't back down and back away. Well, you know, who do you think? You ever hear people say, well, what right do you think you're like that? I have every right in Christ Jesus to honor him. He's my God and Savior. Well, what right do you have to have God? Because of God's grace and his wonderful saving, wonderful work to save us to the uttermost. Now, having said that, moving on. Verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. Sliding over, reading it all, a wonderful section to read, just to remind you. And sliding over, if I can, to verse 13. And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit. Remember what we said, the blessing going out, blessing coming in. He will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thy oil, thy increase of thy kine, cattle, flocks of thy herd, flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people, there shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou sowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And what a time they had. What a wonderful time they had. In the process, they went in and they went out. Their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never wore out. They never had to take an aspirin. There were no aspirins. They didn't need anything. They have no pharmacy. You read the Bible. Where's the pharmacy? Where's the pharmacy? You don't see it. Why not? Because God's working. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't take aspirin and stuff. I'm just trying to share with you that when things were super, and if you're a case, you don't get that. If the Lord were to take us now, how often are you going to get sick up there? All right, I'll do it another way, even more. When you come back with the Lord and you're on the earth for 1,000 years with him, how often do you think you need to go to the drugstore? You don't, because it's for real. Now, so here's all the benefits. The benefits, we didn't even touch them. Shoes never worn, everything. Wonderful. That's what it did. God kept them until he took them. Now, and they died. Now, God, you did that. That's wonderful. That I'm a shepherd. I shepherded them. What does it mean to be shepherded? My care of them. I cared for them from morning till night, fire by day, fire by night, cloud by day. I took care of them 1,000%. They complained and murmured, but I never wavered. I took care of them. That's how they could survive. Otherwise, they could never, never, never survive. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, go with me over, if you can, to where? John. John, we were there this morning. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. Let's get that part. John, chapter 10. Remember, we're special. The shepherd makes everything special. It's the shepherd that does it. It isn't the sheep. The sheep are the beneficiaries. So here's John, chapter 10, as we shared a little bit this morning. And going, if I can, over to verse 7. Then said Jesus unto 10:7, unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the door. Remember, he's the shepherd, and he's telling you, the believers in the upper room, he's telling them, going to tell them and remind them, and here he is doing it again. I am the door of the sheep. The sheep can't get in. No one gets in except through the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No one gets through. No one, any way, shape, or form. The Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, is the centerpiece. There is no other way. There is no other circle. There's no other way to do it. The centerpiece God has chosen is the wonderful risen Savior who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. There's no other way. Now, having said that a little bit, verse 8, all that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, I'm the door, he shall be saved. And he should go in and out, blessing, in and out. I'll bless you when you, Deuteronomy 28:6, I'll bless you going in, I'll bless you going out, I'll bless you. Blessing is what? Is God's intent to fulfill is what he said. So therefore, I'm going to go and bless you going in and bless you going out. And what for? You'll always find pasture. Remember we shared this morning, sheep are one kind of animal. They don't know. If they were in good pasture, they would just as well wander off into bad pasture, and they don't know the difference, and they don't care. They just go wander. My sheep here, they wander all over. And without a shepherd, they can't even find their way back. Wow. So now, God, what are you saying? I'm the door. And I'm the way to the pasture, in and out. I'm going to supply pasture. The word shepherd, pasture, feeding, all of the words, what are we talking about? Well, God, you're the shepherd that takes care of the flock in every way, shape, and form. That's correct. Who's the shepherd? You are. You're the shepherd. The Lamb, the Lord, the shepherd. So God, how am I to see you? As the shepherd, as my Savior. But how, in a special, as a little sheep. Not big shots, you know. Big shots, you know. No, we aren't big shots. We're little shots. We're just little. Little guys. That's just us. And God, what are you going to do? I'm going to be your shepherd. I want you to be a sheep. We shared it this morning. And if you don't want to be a sheep, you don't need a shepherd. If you want to be whatever, then you don't need a shepherd. You won't even trust him as shepherd. But if you've got a sheep heart, a dependent heart, you love the shepherd. You love the shepherd. I don't want to be without the shepherd, and neither do you. We don't want to be without him. We can't make it. Without me, you can do how much? John 15:5. Without me, you can do how many things? Nothing. And nothing means how much? The trick question, George. Nothing. Nothing. You can't do anything. Well, why would you say? Because you got to abide. But, no, you do. Do you understand? You need a shepherd to take care of you. Day and night, 24 hours a day, while you're sleeping and everything. That's what you do. Just like you have your body, you have your temperature, don't you? They take your temperature everywhere, you know. And you have your temperature, and you got a temperature, and your body works your temperature. And now, how much, sidetrack, how much do you take, how much are you governing 98.6 plus or minus in your life right now? Have you got a heating pad on to get it hot, and you got a cooling pad to cool it down? Is that what you do? What do to stay 98.6 or something? You don't do anything. It's automatic, like all the rest God does. God's doing being God. Automatic, but we know. But we know the temperature and et cetera. And we don't take care of it, but we don't even know it until you're 110, then you feel warm, you know. But what can I tell you? Normally you don't. We take it for granted. That's our trouble. And God said that from day one to Israel. You're going to take for granted my care of you and forget me and turn to idols. He warned them. Now, having said that a little bit, he's the pasture. Uh-huh. He's the pasture. Sliding down, if I can, in the light of that. And I'll read to verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Wow. Oh, you're going to do that. That's right. And you're the door. You're the door. And by me, you can't come in except you come through the door. So God, here we are looking to you. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. Verse 7, I am the door. So there's no way to get there except through him. That's why he's going to say what? I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am your life. I am. That's what you're going to keep saying. You are. That's right. So when you're all done, what are we going to do? We shared this the other Sunday or so. We're going to look to God. We don't have to see what's going on. We want to feel it, fear it, get frustrated, try to understand. We can do all of those things and we'll have them. But what are we doing? We're trusting God's wonderful presence. And God in his wonderful presence is shepherding. He's a good, being good and gracious to us. So he's shepherding us. So we don't have to school, work, home, whatever we're doing, sickness, health, wealth, whatever we got to go through. And in the process, we get all caught up in everything. Stop. Look to God. Isaiah 30:50. In returning and rest, shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence, shall be your strength. Simple, do it. And you know the last three words. And they, four words. And they would not do it. They would not do it. They just wouldn't do it. That's all they had to do. God, what are we going to do? Nothing. Is that right? Without me, you can do nothing. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to trust you because you're everything. You're the whole ball of wax. That's right. So we're going to look to you, and we have to look to you, period. We don't have to answer anything. We just have to look to you. And you're shepherding us in the easy and the thin. Sliding over, if I can, over to 02, Genesis chapter 4. Genesis in chapter 4. God, you introduced yourself, Adam and Eve. They were to take care of the garden and enjoy everything therein. And in the process, you have created all these different animals, etc., that are there. And Adam named them all in the process. And in Genesis chapter 4, what do we know? Here's Cain and Abel and Adam and Eve. Well, what was the profession? God, what did they have to, Adam and Eve, without going to chapter 3 there, they went, well, you're looking at it probably, verse 21, unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin, killed the animals, and clothed them instead of fig leaves. He clothed them with the life of somebody else, the animals. It wasn't sufficient, but it was to remind them God was going to, this Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, God was going to die on the cross, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. He's going to die. And I want you to never forget how you're going to make it. You got the coats of skin. What are we going to do? You're going to practice sacrifice. What did Abel do? Look at chapter 4 and verse 2. And again, she bare again his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep. And Cain was a tiller of the ground. Well, God, why? What's so important? I want you to understand, the keeper of the sheep. I want you to take care of things. Pasture, take care of them, sheep. And that's what they were to do. Cain was not going to do that. Abel did. And Cain killed Abel because he did that. He didn't want that. He didn't want them to be sheep, to have to take care of sheep. And that's why they were to be nomads. And what happened when they crossed over into Egypt? Go over to Genesis 46. And picking up, if I may. And what do we know when they crossed? When Joseph and Jacob went with all his brothers to see Joseph and everything in Egypt, and what did they do? Well, you understand, picking up, please, verse 31. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto them, my brethren of my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. Verse 32. The men are shepherds. That's what they did for their trade. And remember to the Egyptians, when you are born, whatever you do is what you are. The child is a soldier. The child is a servant. That's how they relate it. They're connected to whatever you're going to do. In verse 32, and the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle. There's your little words. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. So they got a whole pile of animals with them. And he said, and it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you. What are you going to and say? What is your occupation? Because Pharaoh wants to know what you guys do. And what are you going to tell him, Jacob? Verse 34. That you shall say, thy servant, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from my youth even until now. We always take care, we're shepherds. We always take care of the animals about till now. Both we and also our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. So what did you say, Jacob, to Pharaoh? You tell Pharaoh that you're shepherd keepers, and the Egyptians despise shepherd keeping. Not for them. They had sheep and stuff. The men, to have, who takes care of the children and the men, big girls, the girls and the children, the women? They take care of all that stuff. The men don't touch that stuff. They don't touch that stuff. No, sir. It's an abomination for you guys to take care of animals like that, to be shepherds. It's an abomination to us. And therefore, what do you say, Jacob? Well, you tell Pharaoh that you'd like to stay in the land of Goshen. Goshen is at the end of the Nile in the Mediterranean. What is on the east side? What do you got down there? Pasture land. Jacob said to Pharaoh, it would be good to put us into the pasture land in Goshen instead of among the Egyptians, because they hate us. They hate us. They hate us. And they're animal worshippers. So that add that on to it. And here we are killing animals in a sacrifice. Wow. That kind of thing. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, looking at God's wonderful caring and work in every way, shape, or form, over if you can, over to O. To do that, over to Hosea. Hosea, if you would. A little exercise, we won't lose that much. Over to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah and chapter 23, just to make a comparison for you. Jeremiah chapter 23. And picking up, if I can, 23. And in verse 1. And you'll notice, please, 23:1, Jeremiah. Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. So God, what did we say? You're the door. To come through the door is to find your pasture. You're going to take care. Whatever is needed, in and out, blessed, whatever, I'm going to take care of it. So God, it's my pasture. And you guys don't understand, it's my pasture, and you aren't helping. I think of that. Think of John 21. What you say to Peter. You say it three times. Peter wants to know what to do, because the Lord's going to disappear, and Peter's left, and he wants to go, what am I going to do? And three times in the great movement, feed my sheep. That's the instructions. Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. The sheep must be fed. That's God's, that's what we're looking for, aren't you? We're looking for that. That's what it's supposed to be, to feed the sheep. Now, having said that a little bit, over if you would, please, in the light of that, over to chapter 25. And in chapter 25, 36, I should say. 25, 36. Boy, is that a difference. 25, 36. I'll find it, maybe. 25, 36. Okay, I knew it would come out all right somehow. 25, I think. 25:36, just picking up another little note to make a difference. 25:36, and you'll note, a voice of the cry of the shepherds and an howling of the principal of the flock shall be heard, and the Lord hath spoiled, and what's the difference? Their pasture. your church. You're this. It's his church, not your church. And God says, well, God even said it with a temple. That's my temple. And then he said, well, I give it up. It's your temple. It's your thing. Go do your thing. God gives it up. Hosea chapter 13. And in Hosea chapter 13, picking up, if I may, and you'd recall, picking up for time's sake and all of it, go over to verse 4. Hosea 13, 4. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. Thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. We just thought about that. According to their pasture, so were they filled. In other words, here we are in the presence of God in the wilderness. Here we are, here we have the Bible. Here's your Bible in front of us. And instead of going by it, we're doing our thing. God's word. Our practice, our church, his church, our church. Switched. And what are you doing? It's your pasture. You've taken over that which is mine. It is my job to be the shepherd, not your job. It is not your job to play God. It is my wonderful task to be your God. Now, having said that, in verse 5, I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought, etc. Sliding down to verse 9, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, your pasture, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? Well, there is nobody. And thy judges, of whom thou saidst, give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath. I gave you King Saul, etc. I gave you all those kings. You didn't need kings. If you had trusted me, you would have never had another king. I am the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But you didn't do that. You wanted other kings. You wanted to be like the world. You wanted to have everything. And therefore, you had your word, your pasture, your way of survival, etc., etc., etc. You had all of that. Now, having said that then, over in our time is gone, but if I can, just keep in mind, God is the centerpiece. He's the shepherd. There is no other shepherd. There is no other Savior. There is no other God. And he wants to be, ought to be, understandably, rightly so, ought to be God. He has every right to say what he says in his word and to do what he does in our presence. So God, we're looking to you. So therefore, I'm going to go over now to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. A wonderful, wonderful section, as you know. Isaiah 40, picking up, please. And you know it, I'm going to go to verse 15. 40 and 15. Behold, the nations, all of the nations, Russia, Iran, America, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, counted as small dust in the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. The nation, there is no nation. Sliding down to verse 17. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. So all of the pride and all of the grandeur of communism and socialism and all the stuff out there and all that's going to happen, All of that is to build up to where they can go Armageddon and go as in unity, and to some degree, in unity against God. They aren't going to win. They aren't going to win. But God, that's how it's going to be, and you're going to let it be. I am. I am. They're nothing. That's why Psalm 2, one of the places God laughs, God laughs. All the kings of the earth are gathered against him, and God laughs. He said, that's interesting. They're all going to fight me. The earth, hang on, chapter 40, verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, and that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Now God said, listen, it's a silly thing. You're all going to go against me. God, we don't need you. God said, I beg your pardon. You're on my piece of property. By the way, I own you. I created you. You are accountable, answerable to me. So if you don't mind, it is appointed unto man once the judgment. And when a man wants the judgment, and God's going to death and our judgment, God, we have to answer to you. Now, so here in Isaiah chapter 40, sliding down, wonderful closing it is. Verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Who is like me? No one. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, he hath created these things, and all the stars, and bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. Every heart is given inspection, and they're there to pass the test. Now, God, that's what you do. Verse 27, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Well, why would you say it's all over? Nothing happened. Well, it will happen. It is happening, and it will happen. To say nothing ever happened. God isn't doing anything. Well, you'd be rather glad, I think, if you want to say that, for a little exercise of heart. God, aren't you glad that God forgave all of your sin when you died on Calvary Cross and received him? Because all of the thoughts you have before you leave here would condemn you. That doesn't mean you're thinking bad thoughts. It's just part of your system. It's going. It never stops. If God were to judge you, where would we be? We couldn't even get off to square one. God said, if I did that, you couldn't even get off the ground if I wasn't forgiving you. Well, God, here we are. And in the process, to say God's judgment is passed, no, God has judged. And we shared that a little bit, I hope, this morning. God's wonderful forgiveness. God has forgiven us. God has saved us. God has given us a special privileged place in his body. Wow. Now, so therefore, verse 28, Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding? So God, you count the stars, you count everything, you're the wonderful shepherd. Verse 29, he gave power to the faint, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. God does everything to put men to shame. Verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, God hears humans trying to manage their life, but they that wait, holding on, holding fast, wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In other words, they're going to be survivors. And they're going to go right through the fire and right through the water and right through everything. They're going to go down the corridor and they're going to make it. God, why should we make it? Because the Lord is my shepherd. And since the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not walk. And since he's my shepherd, do you have a watch? Some of you don't look at it. Is it your watch? Isn't your watch? You got a watch or whatever you got? Isn't it yours? Are the shoes, assuming you all have something on your feet, are the shoes yours? Are the shoes yours? You wear them, don't you? The watch, it's your watch. You wear it. You keep it. Is he your shepherd? Then be that. Use it. Exercise it. My shepherd. My watch. My shoes. The key to my car. My. Exercise it. We'll probably never sing it again. My country, what? 'Tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. I don't know, see the point in singing it. Not for us guys, but ultimately I can't hear them ever singing that. Nope. Nope. Wow. What a wonderful thing it is. He's our shepherd, and we're his sheep. And you want to be a sheep. You want God help me to be a sheep. And you don't have to baa, you just have to be a sheep. That's all. Be a sheep. Enjoy being a sheep. Be dependent. Don't be a stupid sheep. That's what sheeps are. A sheep's a stupid. Be a stupid sheep, saved by God, so that you're one smart character, because you keep making it remarkably. How do you keep surviving? Because I have a shepherd who takes me down the corridor of time in a most wonderful way, so that I can make it. School, work, home, health, sickness, everything else is out there. It ain't going to go away at all, unfortunately. So we're going to have an exercise. So God, thank you. Thank you, my shepherd. Take care of the sheep, my God. Our Father, we look to you to deal with our hearts and our heads. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that as we are locked on in the light of gravity to the earth, in the light of the law of aerodynamics, we can sail up into the sky. God, we're locked onto earth, and in the light of your grace and your wonderful person, we can mount up with wings as eagles. We can run and not be weary, walk and never faint. God, we can keep on keeping on. Even so, come. In Christ's name, amen.